The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Live from Super Bowl 46 in Indianapolis, this is PFW in Progress.
It's a Mega Bowl. What's not to understand? This is history in the making. You're going to want to tell your grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids. And when they look back in the annals of history, they're going to be talking about three things. Discovery of fire, invention of the submarine, and Mega Bowl.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
I mean, you can just think of me as Bambi's mother. I make sure nothing bad happened to you.
Bambi's mother got shot, right?
Yeah, first scene.
I remember that. The credits were still rolling and everything.
Paul Perillo.
The crowd is really excited tonight.
They know what's at stake, Dick.
Yep, getting their home team into the NBA.
Now I'm talking about free corn dogs.
Oh, that's right. It's free corn dog night.
And Andy. And Andy?
Here they come, the Flint Tropics Ball Girls cheerleading squad, keeping the crowd energized through the timeout.
We just got such big...
What?
Hearts.
Yes.
Big, bouncy, jiggly hearts.
Well, hearts don't really bounce, so now I think you're talking about something else, Lou.
Andy Hart.
But I like breasts.
Eric Scalavino.
It's a great question. Tomorrow, after the game, I will wrestle a bear.
You're not going to want to miss this, folks. And if you're a small child, you creep into your mama's bedroom at night, and you lift about 40 bucks out of your mom's purse.
For now, anyway.
Stewie's insane. He can rip my head off.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Stewie?
Ah! Everybody panic! Oh, my God, there's a bear loose in the Coliseum!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, our second day broadcasting live from the team hotel in Indianapolis. Thanks for listening. The excitement continues here. Andy and Paul had the Patriots media session earlier this morning. We're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about how the Patriots continue to be disrespected. Paul scoffs at that.
But that lady laughed at you, too, who was walking by.
Even the hotel workers are laughing at you. But they're all thinking to themselves, aren't they favored to win?
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Andy's here. Paul's here. I'm here. Kevin's here. And a cast of thousands are here. And really, it's going to increase tomorrow because that's when all the Patriots friends and families and
the players' family,
coaches' families, rest of the staff, clients, they all descend on Indy. And that's really when, as far as the workers here are concerned, that's when it hits the fan.
And it's not just us. It's people will start to come in general.
Oh,
Thursday,
yeah.
Friday, Saturday, yeah. Sunday is Super Bowl weekend for people, parties, and everything will ramp up, celebrities.
Yep.
So Indy, in and of itself, will start to get busy.
But indulge me for a second. I just want to read an excerpt from an article written by Jerry Thornton today. Jerry wrote this for WEEI.com, but he also writes for Barstool Sports Boston. What was that little click in my ear?
Are we okay? I didn't know.
He also writes for Barstool Sports Boston, but this he wrote for EEI. And he gets into a long thing, but I want to get to the part that's relevant.
Okay. Well, thank you then.
He says he talks about how the Patriots are being disrespected, and this is where he gets into the examples. He says, for example, on Dennis and Callahan, they did a position by position comparison of the two teams and gave the Giants the edge on every single category, including coach and quarterback. And I'm with those guys. The Giants get every check mark, which explains how they managed to go 18-0. Well, I'm with them. And all the guys on TV, no more doubling down on optimism for me. I'm going with the experts, sliding my karma chips into the middle of the table and going all in. Facts, as they say, are stubborn things. And for this game coming up, the facts are these. The Giants have been the hottest team in football over the last month. They've won 5 straight games. The Patriots have only won 10 straight. The Patriots were lucky to get here. Lee Evans dropped that pass that Sterling Moore ferociously ripped out of his hands, which was pure luck. Kyle Williams letting a punt he had no intention of returning graze off his knee. Typical great clutch play by the G-men. Eli Manning is more than Brady's equal. You can't spell elite without him. He's the winningest winner that's ever won. He loves taking sacks, can't be intimidated, never forces a bad throw, and laughs in the face of a pass rush. His legend grows like William Wallace's. He's 7 feet tall, kills men by the hundreds. He'll consume New England with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arse. Brady, you can pressure him. Put him on the ground. He doesn't like to get hit. He gets rattled. Don't let the fact that he's been everyone's, that's been everyone's game plan for the last 11 years, three Super Bowl wins, two MVP seasons, and the last 2 weeks of playoffs wins make you think it doesn't work. Brady's played god-awful in the playoffs. If you can take away that unworldly, record-breaking job against Denver, and you must take it away, it doesn't count. The Patriots look terrible in some of their games, including the one they barely won in Washington. Sure, the Redskins beat the Giants by two touchdowns twice, but that's erroneous. The Giants' defensive front four are an irresistible force, as unblockable as a tsunami. There is no hope of stopping them with the Patriots' measly three Pro Bowlers and best blocking tight end in the league. The Giants can pound the ball with Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs. Don't get sidetracked by that whole last in the NFL rushing thing. Rob Gronkowski is missing practices, and that's going to cost New England in a big way. Hakeem Nicks, 336 yards, four TDs in the playoffs, is missing practices, but he'll be fine. The Giants completely shut down the Patriots' offense in Week 9. Besides those 17 points the Patriots scored in the fourth quarter once they quit worrying about the max protecting Brady, spread New York, and played their own game, Devin McCourty might have had a great rookie year, but this year he's been a disaster, so they had to move him to safety. Antrell Roll was great as a rookie, then was a disaster and had to be moved to safety, but that doesn't count either. Eli will shred New England's secondary, which was 31st in the league. Brady has no chance against New York's secondary, which was a whopping 29th. And finally, Coughlin's superhuman brain operates on a plane of existence the human mind cannot comprehend. Don't let all those annual demands to be fired that fill the New York tabloids distract you from the truth that he's the greatest football intellect since the first coach ever crawled out of the primordial ooze and learned to walk on land. Besides, what does Bill Belichick know about winning big games? Abandon all hope, ye who enter this weekend. I know I have. Now, finally, I can relax and have fun with the game. So there you go. I think he hit the nail on the head. No? You disagree? In defense of Paul has been saying for everything. You know, let's take away the sarcasm that was obviously there.
Well, you had nothing to read.
My only comment would be, you told us you were going to stick to relevant stuff, and you read an 8-minute satire.
Right. It that's what it
None
was.
None of it was relevant.
It was satire. It was
satirical.
But I think if you're going to get back to being, honest and not satirical, the point is everything that you can say about the Giants, you can say about the Patriots. And
of
that's why it's
going
to be an
Isn't
even game.
Isn't that what
game.
We've said all week?
And that's
but
what
negative,
we've been talking
too.
About.
Negative,
right.
too.
That's what we've said. Both teams' defense stink.
Right.
Both teams' offenses, great. Both teams don't run the ball. Right?
I haven't heard anybody say that Tom Brady is not going to be able to take advantage of that secondary. Not one person.
Well, no. A lot of people
think people might think the Giants are going to win the game, but I haven't heard anybody say Giants are going to shut the Patriots out.
A lot of people think he won't be able to do it on his back. He's not going to be able to take advantage of that secondary because he's going to be on his back. Yeah. And as we saw in that first game, they didn't really pressure him that much.
Everyone
didn't pressure him
but
at
me.
All, and they still kept him down.
Brent in Illinois says he missed the first 3 minutes of the show because the stream is down.
You missed nothing.
Yeah, you didn't miss much.
I'll read it again.
And
ready?
What does erroneous mean? Because I don't think he used that word right.
He's just wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, factually wrong.
That's not what... He picked the wrong word. That was not the right
word. I thought it was...
His editors should need to fix that.
I thought it was entertaining.
They have editors that let that appear somewhere?
I thought it was entertaining from a Patriots point of view.
I thought maybe a 12-year-old wrote it, to be honest.
Oh, come on. It was funny.
But what was funny about it? That's my point. It was just
over-the-top...
It was
funny,
it was
sarcastic. And then it just got stupid.
I think it was really good, and we'll have to hear from our listeners.
No, Eric, we're not rereading it. It was terrible the first time. Fred just read like a 20-minute thing. It was an excerpt. He said, "I'll get to the part that's relevant," and it took forever.
And it was a...
It was a snarky, satirical
look at the Patriots and Giants.
What do you mean stop? I don't hear anything.
Well, Eric keeps pulling up. I can hear fine.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what's wrong with
Eric
yours.
And Fred are now fighting.
Eric, go screw yourself if you can't hear.
So is this mine?
No,
that's mine. You're getting loud.
Getting loud.
Yeah. You're over there.
I don't know.
Oh, wait. No, this is yours.
Kevin, come here. Put his headphones on, and without affecting me, fix him.
Or me.
So, guys, Pate, let's go to the – we'll get to the emails because a lot of
I did get, Freddie, on your side, a lot of tweets last night from people. You know, Antrell Roll evidently has joined the "We Will Win the Game" bandwagon for the Giants. We will win. And a lot of people I think Ross Tucker, I retweeted something that he wrote last night. He said he wants to pick the Patriots because he seems like he'd be the only one. So that's people that are saying that. But I haven't seen anybody – you know, talking about the disrespect stuff that column just said. You know, people saying that Tom Brady can't play. People, you know, he's not going to take advantage of the worst secondary in football. I haven't heard anybody say that at all.
If you just look at disrespect as simply picking against the Patriots, there's a lot of it.
But, that's where I differ from you. I don't think that someone looks at a game and thinks it's even and thinks one team's going to win as a sign of disrespect to the other.
No, but if it's an even game, why isn't an even number of people picking
teams? I think that's what it'll end up being.
How many people have picked? Like
That's my point.
Did he include it in that story? Like all
the
people that are picking against him?
No, he didn't go through that.
Because I generally thought most people wait till the end of the week before they make their picks. So where are all these people picking?
Well, it's just people coming out right now. They somebody mentioned it yesterday.
The guy at the local bar, like the guy said yesterday.
Peter King, Chris
Andy,
Mortensen.
A man hears Ron Jaworski here and disregards the rest.
Oh, okay, Simon and Garfunkel.
That's what this is all about. You can find the people that back up your argument, and I could certainly find the same amount of people on the other side. It's a dead even game.
It is a dead even game. Now, let's go back to this morning. You guys were at Access. What did you know? And Eric's here, by the way, and he just came back from the Giants Access. But let's talk about the Patriots Access first. Who was talking? In two people were back for media access that weren't available yesterday.
Your tackles were back. Both Vollmer and Light were at their assigned tables during the player portion of media access. Light said he's just taking it today, and Vollmer said he was sick, and he looked pretty good to me, but you may have seen the report yesterday on WEEI.com that supposedly Dante Scarnecchia said that Vollmer is going to play on Sunday. Vollmer did not want to touch that, said, quote, "I haven't read the script, so you'd have to ask those guys." But, yes, both those guys were there. Bill Belichick held a press conference talking about a lot of different things, but I thought he was back to business. You know, we've talked a little bit about the demeanor and the lighthearted nature. I thought it felt like a Wednesday press conference of a game week. I thought he was back to being Bill Belichick. And then Tom Brady spoke, and all the players were available afterwards.
Gronkowski also, Freddie, was present and accounted for. He's sitting at his assigned table as well. Bill would not say whether or not he was going to practice, said that he is getting better, and you know they'd have to see, and we'll find out. The Patriots practice this afternoon. Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com is the AFC's pool reporter. Maybe around 5 o'clock we might get some update from Alex, and we'll find out what Rob was able to do or not do at practice today.
One thing
I never said that
we'll have is photographs from practice. Our team photographer, Dave Silverman, will be there at practice. He's allowed to snap some photos, so we'll have that. And if you were on Patriots.com yesterday, you also saw exclusive behind-the-scenes photos from Media Day, all the guys in the locker room getting ready and all that stuff. That's photos you can't find anywhere else but Patriots.com. So just bringing it at you.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
So as far as Belichick, you feel that, you know, he was just back to the normal Bill Belichick?
Yeah, yeah. Regular guy today.
Yep. Were there any questions he bristled at?
I don't think he bristled at anything. The only thing he really had fun with, the very last question, was a Pro Bowl-related question. And he sort of thought about it and stopped and said, "I probably shouldn't say what I really think on this topic," or something like that. Which, you know, in not saying anything, I thought spoke volumes that he thinks it's a joke.
He said the game wasn't what it was and what it is now are totally different.
Right.
But he didn't rip it necessarily.
Yeah, I think the game is playing itself out of existence.
Could be.
I think if you watched that game yesterday, it was embarrassing. Not yesterday, but on Sunday. It was embarrassing.
Yes, no question.
I mean, you know, we talk about brother-in-lawing. These guys were just standing up and not even trying to rush or trying to block. It was just absolutely ridiculous. Play 7-on-7 if that's what you're going to do. You know, play flag football if that's what you're going to do.
It should be an awards ceremony, basically. Well, that's really all. It's a glorified awards ceremony.
It is ridiculous, and, you know, I'm with Bill Belichick. I mean, either you do it right or you don't do it, and I don't think there is a way to do it right without risking injury. So you don't do it.
But they always did it.
Yeah, well,
it's clearly taken a drop-off in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, things are different now, and I just don't think you can play pro football for fun.
Right.
You can't do it.
I agree, Freddie.
Eric.
Hi, Freddie.
Was at the Giants access. He just got back. What's going on there? I hear they're really talkative over there.
Well, I think people are making more out of the Antrell Roll thing than they really should.
No.
I mean, it's kind of like the other day when Brady at the pep rally at Gillette, the send-off rally, said, you know, hopefully there'll be more of you at next week's party. It's the same kind of thing. Roll was at a little pep rally, and, you know, he did what anybody at a pep rally does. You say things to get your crowd excited, the cheap pop, as
right.
they have in wrestling.
Mick Foley.
Right. And, you know, there's a headline in the, I think it was the New York Post today, roll call, like he's predicting they're going to win. I mean,
Andy Hart working for the Post now.
This isn't the age of Joe Namath anymore, where, like, when Joe Namath said it, it really meant something. People make guarantees all the time. It's just so ridiculous.
And you can find a guarantee. And I mean, I talked to Spikes today, and he said, we came here to win this game. Is that a guarantee?
Yeah.
I mean, is he predicting a win?
I know.
They're all confident. They should be confident. It's the biggest game of most of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'd expect them to think they're going to win the football game. If they didn't, then they shouldn't be playing.
Exactly. The only other real news coming out of there was, you know, all the news here is about Gronkowski and his injury. The only real injury concern that the Giants seem to have is Ahmad Bradshaw, who has, you know, been in and out of the lineup all year, didn't play in the Week 9 game against New England. Tom Coughlin told us, the media, when we were there, he expected only Bradshaw to be unavailable at practice today. So then I went over to Bradshaw's riser, podium, afterwards, told him that, and broke the news to him because he hadn't heard that he wasn't practicing.
Is that right?
Yeah. So he's like, I had planned to go there and try to maybe give it a few snaps, but, you know, apparently not. You know, I still would like to go over there and try to practice. Maybe Coach Coughlin won't like that too much, but that's how I feel. And
wow, that's interesting. Yeah. That tells me that's not a factor.
We break
right.
it. Mm. Patriots.com
right.
radio.
That Coughlin's holding him out intentionally. He can practice.
But he could, if the game was today, he'd play.
Yeah.
Right. And it sounds like Nix is full go for practice today, or at least limited participation in practice.
Right.
So
now, what's his problem? Shoulder?
Yes.
Nix, right now, it's a shoulder, yeah.
Yeah. It'll be a lot more by the time the game starts.
It was hamstring back in Week 9.
He turned into Mike Ditka over here or something.
I didn't put a bounty on his
Jesus.
Head.
No, that would be Buddy Ryan.
I think Ditka might have done it, too.
No, I'm just talking about the way you talk. You're old school, cocky, team first.
Why not? It's Super Bowl week.
I agree.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Have fun with it, Freddie.
We'll be the professionals.
Anything else, Eric?
Had a nice little chat with Larry Izzo.
Oh.
Is it Izzo or Izzo? Izzo?
Old friend.
Yes. And he's very, very I forgot how talkative he really is. Yeah. He's a great quote. So we'll have some interesting stuff from him about the perspective of having been a player 4 years ago for one team and now making the transition to being a coach on the other team and the whole dynamic surrounding, you know, all that's happened to him in the last 4 years, going from player to coach and switching organizations two times since then. He went to the Jets and then the Giants. So interesting to catch up with him a little bit. Andy, you talked, or Paul talked to Brian Hoyer today?
Yes.
About the dynamic of being a backup quarterback?
Yes.
So he did the same with David Carr down there today, and he actually gave some very good insight into being a backup quarterback. The whole phenomenon lately of teams carrying just two quarterbacks, and whether or not that puts more pressure on the backup to perform when he has to, and Carr had some interesting insight into how the backup now in practice gets a lot more snaps with the first team than they would have on a three quarterback squad because there aren't enough arms available.
I just think that's fascinating. Like, you never think it could happen, but it's like Colt McCoy in, was that like 4 years ago when he got knocked out on
the
first second snap of the game,
national
championship. Imagine if that happened in this game. I mean, this is a buildup of Brady Manning too, and we saw it against the Chiefs. At any point in early in a first quarter, a guy can be knocked out of a game, and all of a sudden it could be Carr versus Brady or Hoyer versus Manning. And
everything changes.
So I took it a step further with him and said, okay, so Manning goes down, you're in the game. Now what happens if it's like a Houston Texans thing where Matt Leinart, the backup, comes in, and first play or two, he's knocked out.
Right.
What do you guys do then?
And he's like, Raggy.
He says, well, you know, the name he threw out was Steve Weatherford, the punter.
Oh, my God.
Well, would have to be the emergency.
Like, they're talking about this as the most hyped Super Bowl ever, and if something like that ends up transpiring, then it'll be the most unique Super Bowl ever, but not necessarily for the reasons the networks wanted it. And
that
so
would be
when
horrible.
I finished up with Hoyer, I said, good luck. I hope you play or
don't
or
play.
Don't play. Or I'm not sure. And he laughed. He said, even his dad said, is this weird? Do you want to play? Do you not want to play? And because I said to him, obviously it's not good for the Patriots. No offense to you if Brady's not playing. I mean, he's the best quarterback in the league. So it's an interesting dynamic that, but you just don't think that it could possibly happen.
And we hope it doesn't.
Wait, you don't hope that Manning gets hurt?
Not necessarily.
Really? That's big of you.
Because then when we win, it'll be, well, Manning didn't play. So
yes, it probably would be.
I don't want that. I saw Chad Ochocinco spoke yesterday. I saw him walking towards availability today. I'm assuming he spoke.
Yes, he did. For the entire time, and then 10 or 15 minutes after it ended, he kept talking.
People who I thought were of sound mind have told
me
over the last 48 hours they think he could have a big game.
I think he could play.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Why is that?
Especially if Gronk can't go.
It depends on Gronk.
It's all dependent on Gronk. If Gronk's there, then I don't think you'll see much from Ocho. But if he is limited in any way, I think you could see Ocho.
Okay, so you're saying it strictly depends on Gronk.
For the most part,
yeah, I think so.
I'm not saying he couldn't get 6 or 8 snaps even with Gronk.
But based on what we've seen, that's unlikely.
And, you know, everybody's asking him, would it wipe away the season? You know, could one game, 4 catches, a touchdown, would that, you know, make it all worth it and different?
He says,
I don't know. Well, he said today, you know, I'm not thinking like that. I just, he said, it's like we say in Madden, you're only as good as your last game or your last 16 games.
When do we say that in Madden?
Well, I think he meant like the
who
players.
Who talks in Madden terms, you know, beyond the age of 15?
He's bringing Madden to real football.
Well, I just, you know, and no one would love to see that more than me, but I just don't see it.
Why?
I don't even see it if Gronk, you know, can't play.
Well, who fills
because,
in?
Because the guy, his head is scrambled eggs.
How do you know? It still is.
At this point, I don't trust him making catches in the biggest game in the biggest moments. I mean, you know, falling to the ground and
so you cradle... trust Edelman more?
Absolutely.
Well, in fairness,
I do.
I agree with
you. He had his best game, Ocho, as a Patriot in what was at the time the biggest game of the season at Denver.
Why was that the biggest
game
of the season?
Why was that the biggest game of the season?
I mean, okay, the most hyped game of the season.
Because Eric picked the Broncos. By the way,
his best game was against the Jets in New York, if you really look at it. He had 2 catches.
I suppose you're probably right, Fred, but I mean, really, to single out any one of those games as better or worse than any other, to me,
hey, wow, Chad Ochocinco.
Hey, Chad, we're just talking about you.
We'll keep talking when you're out of earshot.
Let us know when you're far enough away. But you know, getting back to the regular season,
yep.
And Fred wonders why, you know, we're stunted. It takes a lot to render me
practice start
useless.
Why is he here?
Yeah.
So what were you gonna say, Paul?
He's flustered.
I agree with you, Fred.
Yes.
This one's just Matt Smith. Don't worry about it.
I agree with Fred on this one.
We were discussing Chad Ochocinco when Chad Ochocinco
as he walked by.
yes.
Right.
So,
but I agree with you. I would be surprised if he were to have a huge role. I do think if Gronk is somewhat limited or a less part of the game plan by design going in, I think it makes sense to give him a shot because I don't think that the other guys are capable. Well, I think that what he's done in the past shows that he is capable. However, I'm not overly confident that he could do it now.
The only way I see that happening is you have to ease him in. You can't say, oh, my God, it's 3rd and 12, and then you go target him.
But you can't ease him in. 1st and 10 in the Super Bowl is just as big as 3rd and 12.
Right.
If the ball tips off his hand and gets intercepted, your season could go down the tube.
So few plays
every single play
left
in the Super Bowl on offense, if it's 60 snaps, they're all big.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on that one.
So there's no easing him in. Either you have the faith to put him on the field against the Giants or you don't.
There's no easing in. I mean, that's a fair question.
Especially if Fred, you want to put a guy like Edelman in that situation, And he's playing regularly on defense as well, and he's returning punts, right, and he's covering kickoffs. I mean,
so if that removes him, now you're down to Taquan Underwood.
Not saying he can't do it, but that's a lot to ask of a guy.
Right.
At all those spots in the biggest game of his career.
Who has had failings at all those spots at times.
We've seen
him at defense struggle a little bit. We've seen him on offense at times not be the perfect fill-in.
Yeah, had the drops last year for all
even
that.
Even like,
stretch.
Was that last week or 2 weeks ago where they threw to him in the end zone and it just looked off? We talk about, it's funny how when it's not Gronkowski, Hernandez, Branch, or Welker, it just looks off.
Edelman had two passes thrown his direction last week that were picked off. Now, one got negated by a penalty, and another one
was
stood.
A bad throw.
And I always look at Andy. It's amazing to me when the ball is not directed to one of the big four. Welker, Branch, and the two tight ends. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't look the same. It doesn't matter if it's Underwood,
right.
Edelman, Slater, Chad. It just doesn't look the same. And I don't know if it's just because of a lack of reps.
Right.
You know, Brady obviously doesn't have the same faith in anybody else beyond those four as he does, with them. And it just doesn't look right to me.
But
and that's
they also
why...
don't have the same reps to do the opportunities to learn to do the right thing. You know what I mean? It's not just Brady having faith in them. It's them having done
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I started with. I don't know if it's just about reps. It just doesn't look the same to me. And that's why I agree with Fred on, the possibility of that just sort of happening, all at once, where all of a sudden it's a big game. He could have a bigger role and get more snaps and by virtue of that, he could end up with three or four catches.
Right.
But I don't imagine a huge game.
It's kind of like when I talk to my son about UFOs and ghosts. I want to believe in all that stuff, but I tell him.
How do we get here?
I tell him, I'm with you. I want it to be true. But wouldn't we have proof by now that UFOs had come and it's the same thing with Chad. Wouldn't something have happened by now to give us the faith?
No. I think so.
Yeah,
I don't see how you can go 18 games. I mean,
you may not have faith in this team, Fred, but I do.
Okay, all right.
I'm not going to dismiss anything as impossible and out of hand, but to me, it would be an outlier.
Right.
At this point, it's not going to be the rule. It's the exception if it happens.
Yeah, but the exception can win you the Super Bowl.
Sure. I'm just saying, I'm
a
not going to.
A 65-yard touchdown exception is a touchdown.
It would
seven
be.
Points.
I would be.
No, I'm
beside
just, I'm
myself
about a,
with joy.
I'm not talking about a play. I'm talking about a game. A game. Like a big
it might
game.
Might only take a play to have a big
no,
game.
No, I understand.
A game-winning touchdown is a big game.
I understand. Sure I understand that. If it's a huge touchdown or whatever, that's huge. That's a big play in a Super Bowl game. No doubt about it. I'm talking about a consistent 60-minute game where.
Oh, I don't think
he comes out
that.
Of nowhere, and I think that would be an outlier.
He's not going to be Deion Branch and catch 11 passes for 140 yards or whatever.
I'm talking about five.
Oh, I think he could catch five.
I'd be stunned, completely stunned.
You've been stunned
before. By him this year.
And it's
no other things.
And it's less about his ability and more about the confidence of Brady in him.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit could of both, be. But I agree with you on that too, Fred.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think he'll look that way five times.
Okay, well, I just think if Gronk's not playing and Hernandez is being doubled and Welker's being covered and Branch is being...
I think you're going
to
see...
You're going to have the confidence to throw
right.
to somebody.
You're going
to
have a heavy dosage of Woodhead out of the backfield, Kevin Faulk...
Run the
ball. Running the ball might be...
Kevin Faulk, who I think they have confidence that he won't screw up. You could see a lot of him.
Yeah, you're down to plan F or G by that point.
Yeah.
I can't believe how much I'm in accordance with Fred on this. I really kind of
Fred has gone to the negative
side,
the dark side.
Here's the thing.
Well, when have you been realistic in the past?
Right now.
You just read that thing that you think is the truth from Jerry Thornton or whatever.
Obviously, it's satire.
It was erroneous is what it was.
It was erroneous.
He used the word erroneously.
I didn't.
No, the writer did.
Oh, but back to Fred's point, I don't really think it's a negative. I don't see, like you just said, what happens if all of those guys are covered and Brady's looking for this guy. I don't think the Giants are capable of doing that. I mean, Gronkowski not playing would be huge. If he wasn't a big part of the offense, I'm not minimizing that. But I have no doubt that Welker is still going to catch passes and Hernandez. This is a bad secondary they're playing. I don't see the Giants taking away all those other guys.
Right.
I just don't see that
they
happening.
Haven't done it yet this season, so why now?
So I don't necessarily look at it as a negative thing. I think that if Gronk can't be as big a part of the offense as he normally is, it's going to mean Welker and Branch are going to, Branch in particular is going to have to be, big game Branch like he normally is in big games and not the guy that we've seen. He's going to have to be a little bit better.
Big Game Branch was about 6 years ago.
All right. We got a lot of emails. We got calls stacked up. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature.
Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011 Bank of America Corporation.
Timing down. I think so many people think
this bad. All you do, you get out there, you run around, you just get open. Yeah, it's not that easy. You know? I mean, I wish it was that easy. If it was that easy, everybody coming to do it, everybody be in the NFL. No, it didn't look like that, man. There's a system. There's a way things are done. You know, there's a Patriot way.
There is a Patriot way, and it's not that easy, as we've seen.
Unless you're Jabbar Geffen.
Randy Moss.
Or Dante Stallworth.
Or Wes Welker.
So, webradio at patriots.com is the
Chad,
email address.
Can you still hear us?
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Let's go to some phone calls, shall we? Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
What's up?
Not much. I was listening to you earlier, and I think you're right, man. If Gronk ain't out there, Chad going to have to step up. I mean, this could be one game where he got to show up like the old Chad, because if we have somebody to stretch the defense at least once or twice, you know, underneath it will be all right, because they're going to jam us like they did last game,
but
week nine.
You can say that all you want, but he's had to step up all season.
Well, he hasn't.
Well, no, yeah, but I mean, for his own sake.
I know, but it wasn't a necessity for the team and for the offense. They had the ability to forget about him because they had great tight ends and great receivers.
I think at this point you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
Just well, it's better than an empty hole.
I think you fill it some other way.
I wish there was, but
you got to fill the hole somehow.
Somebody has to step up, man. I mean, somebody. When they played San Francisco, only one that was burning in was Vernon Davis. Crabtree and I think Glenn was hurt. But other receivers for San Francisco didn't step up. Only one was killing them was Davis.
But they don't really have any wide receivers. They're not very good.
No, they really don't. You know, just like we don't, besides Welcher. We don't have nobody that'll stretch that defense. And you at least have somebody at least fear them at least once. At least put a scare of the defense, at least once. You know what I mean?
I don't necessarily. I think they've been very productive all year without a guy who's been able to stretch the defense.
Yeah, but with a guy who's an all-pro tight end.
No. I'm just saying, I don't think you need a guy to stretch the defense, that's all.
I mean, no, I'm just saying,
Eldridge,
they've been very productive all year with the best tight end in the history of football.
Don't you think the Ravens' defense is better than the Giants' defense? Hello, Eldridge?
Eldridge?
Thanks for calling, Eldridge.
All right. I mean, we're looking at this Giants' defense like it's the 85 Bears. It's not.
No, but they are peaking, it seems, at the right time. But the same,
more so up front, I would say, pressure-wise,
right.
And the front is peaking more
right.
So than the second.
And a lot of people are saying that about, you know, New England's defense in some ways, that they're making plays and doing what they have to do at the right time.
Right, but I think both offenses will have success on
yep.
Sunday.
I agree.
Let's go to Larry in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good. Great. How are you doing?
Good, man. How's Indy?
It's happening.
Indy's doing
hot, happening and moist, like your daughter.
Oh,
whoa.
What Steven Tyler said on American Idol.
Wow.
You don't have to say it to Larry, though.
Oh, sorry, Larry. You don't even have a daughter, do you, Larry?
You never know.
You're like 22. Not that you know of.
You have a son?
Yeah. I had some guy email because yesterday I was at work. That's why I had to get off the line. I had to go back to work. That's why what happened. But I had some that email, though. But, yeah, I was just calling in and just, like I was talking about, somebody going to have to step up outside of it. Even though, you know, Gronk is out there, he's not going to be 100%.
No, he's not.
So we're going to need that another X factor that, you know, they was not counting on just to show up big. I understand this is, I know he ain't been showing up in 16 or 18 other games, but he have to show up, you know, at least just for that one game. I don't care if it's just a couple catches. Give me a couple catches so they have the defense respect that, okay, we have to cover another guy.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. I wonder if, you know, if he is well enough to be out there and can, say, you know, run block effectively, if he can't run patterns that well, the fact that he's even out there might give the Giants a reason to have to put one or one and a half players.
We're not talking about a guy who's had a case of the dropsies or someone who's been battling an injury. We're talking about a guy who just hasn't been able to function in this offense, period.
Yeah, it's mental, but I feel like if we can't have an extra receiver there, and even if you have Gronk in the game, at least they have to negate that with another DB. Now, the less linemen we have, the less linebackers we have, the more DBs you have on the field.
I think Edelman's your X factor.
It's Jarvis Green to have a good game because we don't have to run the ball.
I think Edelman's your X factor. I think he's going to play every snap. Offense, defense, and special teams.
He might.
Well, Yeah, he
I guarantee
might,
he doesn't.
I don't know how effective he's going to be.
He might have
that's
to.
That's the problem. It's how effective he's going to be because, trust me, they already put the spotlight on him because they're going to go at him. They're going to go at him all day.
Well, the most likely scenario is it's a hodgepodge of Edelman, Underwood, Ocho Cinco, Woodhead, Green Ellis could all be out wide.
Sure.
I mean, you could see so many different packages and formations.
Yeah. I had this feeling before Gronk got hurt, but I think more so now. I think Aaron Hernandez is going to have a big game. Very, very big game.
Okay.
I think he might even be the MVP of the game.
That sounds good to me.
I think they should also add, like, for Brady to move in the pocket. Like, you know, some, you know, bootlegs. You know, I know he's not the fastest, but, you know, something like that. Just to not have him sit and duck. Last time, you know? So I feel like they need to move that pocket.
Yep.
Because they're going to be shooting that break because they already know we are a passing team. So that's what they love. And that's the best thing they have. They don't have a better defense than Baltimore, but they have better line, I believe. They have a better line.
Right.
All right, Larry, thanks for the call. Larry mentioned Edelman getting exposed. Victor Cruz is he's not backing down from that. He was on the NFL Network set last night and said, look, you know, it is what it is. You know, I just think that, you know, I'm faster, I'm strong, you know.
Shouldn't he be saying that? I mean, I heard the comments from yesterday where he said it's not his natural position, so you should be looking to expose that.
Right.
Isn't that the way you look at it? Isn't that just being honest? Isn't that just fact, not opinion, not cockiness?
It's not protocol. It's not nice to say that.
Oh,
he's
God.
Not being nice. And I think that
I think it was Manningham actually that started it.
I think
too.
It was Manningham.
Yeah, but Cruz said
and Mario
it.
Mario Manningham.
And, I think that the Patriots will do what it takes to not have Edelman exposed.
Right, like Sunday. Maybe not have him on the field.
Maybe.
Well, yeah. But we saw him lined up there against Anquan Boldin the week before.
And he got torched by a big, slow, strong possession receiver who's technically a better matchup for him. This is the worst.
And he only played about 25 snaps on defense, and he gave up 8 catches for 108 yards. I mean, if he played more than that, there's no telling how much damage they could have done.
What happened?
I don't know. What's the matter?
Hearing a buzz.
Sounds fine to me.
Fred and I are hearing
can you hear? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
I can hear you.
I'm getting a buzz.
I can hear Eric.
Fred's getting a buzz. The second hour should be great.
Keep talking, Andy.
Okay, Fred. I will talk about a guy I saw in media access today, a former Patriots wide receiver named P.K. Sam, who was working for ProPlayerInsiders.com, I believe is the website. You can go to the PFW blog to read about it. Had some interesting comments. I had forgotten about the fact that he was on the 2004 Patriots and was suspended before the trip to the Super Bowl, so did not go with the team to that Super Bowl.
For reasons unspecified?
Well, he violated a team rule, and he said it was, quote, the last straw for Belichick. And he didn't really understand it at the time, didn't really intend to break a team rule, but did, and it was the last straw. And he said he wrote Bill a note and thanked him today and said he needed that. He was a little bit out of control, as I think he used the phrase at the time, and very interesting that he has bounced around. And he said he misses it. He really, truly misses the Patriots, understands now what they have here, what they were doing.
What were some of the other things that he did the previous straws?
He didn't say. He didn't really want to get into details. He just admitted it was on him. You know, he wasn't ready. He was immature. It was on him.
Do you remember any of that from?
Not really.
Paul?
I mean, I remember him being suspended now that he told me.
To be honest with you, I didn't even remember that until he said to me that, you know, he was suspended the last when they were here and he didn't get to experience it.
He said the only guy he's kept in touch with, Deion Branch, is they've been friendly. Other than that, he's a total outsider, and it's weird kind of seeing him here and everything, but he's moved on with his life. He said, you know, I won't say I have regrets, but I probably should have handled things differently, is how he phrased it.
And if you remember, and Fred, you mentioned this off the air, but he was the youngest guy in his draft.
Yep.
You know, a lot like about Aaron Hernandez was very young when we drafted him. He was a very young guy coming out of Florida State. And, you know, maybe some guys, they're just not ready. And mentally.
Yeah.
And he obviously wasn't.
Oh, yeah. He fully admits it.
Okay.
You're back?
Nice guy.
You lost
though.
Your buzz?
Really nice guy.
I'm back.
Guy.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on. Kevin fixed it. He just
unplugged it. Plugged it back in.
He's the best. It's like Comcast, just unplug it, plug it back in.
No, I'm good now. It started for a second, then went away.
This is good radio.
let's go back to the phones. Salt is in Orlando. Hey, Salt, how's Pepper?
She's doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Tremendous.
I don't know.
Okay, thanks a lot
Spit
for
coming.
Spit it out! This is the only Super Bowl I'm nervous about. All the other ones, even 2001, I'm not that nervous about. I thought we had a chance, but this is the only one that's actually nervous.
Okay, so in 01 you said we had a chance. Are you saying we don't have a chance now?
No, we do. It's just the fact that we lost to the Giants the last two times we played any meaningful games against them. We lost, you know, we might have beat them in the preseason or something like that, but, you know, that doesn't count.
So what is the biggest fear factor for you in this game? The Giants offense, or is it the defensive front again?
It's the defensive front. You guys kind of caught, you know, got me off the ledge about that, saying, you know, three-step drops, no seven-step drops, so everything should be all right. You know, I'm not worried like you guys seem to be because, you know, I think about the San Francisco game, all they had to do was cover Vernon Davis, and they still let him, you know, get a bunch of yards and touchdowns and stuff. So maybe I shouldn't be so worried. I guess it's our defense.
I think
versus,
that their defense, I think, is suspect. I really do. I think the Giants' defense is average at best, and I think that's something the Patriots are going to take advantage of.
I think and I think that
a lot of points in this game.
Yeah, and I think that right now Bill Belichick has cracked the code of that defense, and he knows exactly how they're going to take advantage of it.
I'm not sure it's a code. I think it's more of a, can the guys block?
That's a euphemism.
It makes it sound...
Matt Light talked a lot about that today, too. Go ahead, Salt.
I know people were complaining about the broadcasters in the last two games, the same guys. I remember something they said, and I'll just bring it up and I'll get off. You know, I know that when Joe Flacco was running that drive where he threw the interception, they were running the ball up until he threw that interception.
Right.
And I remember the broadcasters were like, oh, you know, Joe Flacco is so great. He's, you know, so poised right now. Nothing's rattling him. And I'm just thinking to myself at the time, all he's doing is handing the ball off, you know? But, yeah. All right, guys, take it easy.
Thanks, all right.
Isn't that the drive where I said, why are they throwing here?
Yeah, as soon as they started to drop back, Andy was all, you know, wondering why they were throwing the ball.
Stephen Albany writes in, I can understand why Paul and Andy didn't think that satire was relevant and funny, but as a fan who has been listening to NFL Network, ESPN, and other media coverage of the game, I can vouch for Fred. The writer touched on all of the coverage I've listened to thus far from national media. The networks will only discuss the opportunities the Giants have while ignoring the same negatives they harp on about the Patriots while ignoring the same opportunities. It is ultimately one-sided coverage. I enjoyed the piece.
Well, you know, the Shield is in New York.
True.
Right, and New York is the Giants, so obviously there's a bias.
I agree.
Who wrote this piece that you are all up in arms about?
Jerry Thornton.
Oh, I'm not all up in arms about the piece.
Just, what are you up in arms?
It was a satire. I think he didn't really intend it to be taken overly serious.
Oh.
It was clearly
it was a
satirical look at the coverage.
Lee writes in, he says, there are two articles from an ESPN New York writer who quotes the facts but says that Brady is now overrated. The second one is from John Clayton talking about the blueprint to win over the Patriots. So there's another couple articles.
And it says that Brady's overrated.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, what can I tell you?
You can tell me what he actually said.
Brian says, well, I think it's basically...
Yesterday we had a few of these that we found out to be incorrect, if you remember.
Erroneous, if you will.
Like the Eli Manning comparison to Derek Jeter, which we went and then we saw it that Tom Brady was asked the same thing and compared to Derek Jeter.
Brian writes in,
nothing.
I think it's...
Nothing, crickets.
I think it's basically the media trying to find the most provocative angle they possibly can to rile up everyone. Because by the time a retraction/correction happens, or the people actually hear the entire soundbite in context, it's too late, damage done. The mainstream media's only concern is selling copies, getting hits, not necessarily writing about the actual facts.
Those bastards.
Speaking of
which, they actually want to be seen and read and heard.
We got about 20,000 PFWs we need to unload. Anybody interested?
Oh.
Oh, we got more?
We're supposed to be handing those out around town, right?
Carol. Carol Hardy.
She gets here tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Take them down. That's a good cover. People will get jazzed up over
there.
Bring that out to the party. Bring that over to the media center.
Just go down to the Super Bowl Village and hand that
Heck
out.
Heck yeah.
Let's see. Neil writes in.
Paul's giving him a look.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you watched the Trey Wingo interview with Peyton Manning on ESPN yesterday. It certainly appeared that Peyton was shilling for Gatorade during the interview.
Well, that was the whole point of the interview.
I'm sure he was.
That, the reason that he and Wingo were promoting Gatorade, and that's why he got the interview.
He says Trey,
these are your people,
there was a cooler
friend.
Of Gatorade.
Yeah.
He said Trey appeared uncomfortable with this. Do any of you have an opinion on this? Did ESPN get this special interview by agreeing to let Peyton shill? He must have.
No, the two of them were promoting Gatorade. That was why the interview was set up. They have an event that they're doing this weekend, Manning and Trey Wingo.
Why is Trey Wingo promoting anything?
Because all these ESPN people now get all these commercial endorsement deals.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I need some.
Sean in Quebec says, love your show. Can't wait for Sunday. Been a Patriots fan for 22 years and finally made it to my first NFL game this year against Dallas. Wasn't sure about the bias against the Patriots, but the other day I saw someone interviewing Justin Tuck. I think he mentioned that they need to pressure Brady or he would light them up. And the ESPN analyst said, we don't want that, do we? And then last night there was an article titled Brady Not As Good As Advertised. It basically lined up why he has sucked the last few years in the playoffs and isn't so great anymore. But Eli is now a Hall of Famer. Where were the people when the Giants were 7-7? The Giants are a good team, and Eli is a good quarterback, but Brady, not good as advertised? Come on. I saw it in the Dallas game. So I'm telling
what
you.
What Dallas game?
When the Patriots played Dallas.
Three months ago?
He said he went to see the Dallas game.
Oh, was he talking about the Giants-Dallas game?
Maybe. I don't know.
PFW on ESPN.
I don't know. So. Let's go back to the phones. Tim in Pensacola. Hey, Tim.
Oh, geez.
Hey, Fred. You honor me by taking my call in Indianapolis.
You're in Indy?
No. You're in Indy.
Oh, okay. Where are you?
I'm in Pensacola.
Psych ward.
No. All right. Hey, I got a couple of comments, and then I have a question about Rob Gronkowski. But first, you know that I've heard some of the earlier calls saying, you know, deep threat, and I agree in the off season. Like, if Brandon Lloyd's not fast, I don't really want him. But I think this offense, as it is now, is better equipped to face the Giants because think about it. This short to intermediate passing game is good because Brady's going to have to get the ball out quick. I don't think he's going to have time. Even if we had a Randy Moss, I don't think he would have the time to get it to him. So I think these tight ends, these slot receivers, these possession receivers are perfect. And you know what? What do you guys think of, not so much Ocho Cinco, although I hope he has a good game. I hope all receivers have a good game. But what about Nate Solder? He used to be a tight end. Do you think he can't really fill that Gronk role, but can he kind of do it a little bit?
Well, I mean, from the blocking aspect, certainly. But he's just not, you know, again, you know, maybe he catches a pass in the end zone like Vrabel did, but I mean,
that'd be a big play if he did that.
Yeah, sure, but in the middle of the field, no way.
Oh, not in the middle of the field.
No, he could catch a first down or something.
Maybe.
I'd be very surprised to see him catch a pass. They haven't, you know.
I think he'll catch one.
I think so,
too. They haven't thrown him the ball all year.
That may be why.
Yeah,
That would take the Giants by surprise, would it not?
That's up to the quarterback.
if he gets open.
I don't know. I don't think that would be wise.
Well, you can certainly throw it up there because he's taller than anyone else on the field, so.
Yeah, and it's not like he's never caught a pass before.
Yeah. All right, thanks for the call, Tim. Let's go to Ray from Philly. Hey, Ray.
Ray.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We certainly can, Ray.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. I think Ocho Cinco might have, like, a pretty good game. I don't know why. It's just like a feeling.
Well,
because
that's,
it's not like he's...
Yeah. What gives you that feeling, though?
It's not like he's a no-name receiver. This is a guy that can catch and can make plays if the ball's in his hand.
I love to believe that. I really would. Just like I said to my kid, I love to believe that there's UFOs. But I just, you know, don't you think by now we'd have a little proof?
Yeah.
Maybe we do.
He has been a no-name receiver. I mean, what his play this year has been that of just any other guy.
I'm not saying that his play this year has been good. It's been horrible compared, like, to any season that he's ever had. But, again, if, you know, like, they can somehow work him into the system, maybe throw him a screen and get him loosened up. You know, like, this is a guy that can make plays. And I think that they should take advantage of that.
Yeah. I would love to see it, Ray. I just
keep the faith, Ray. I'm with you, brother.
Thanks for the call. Phil in Nova Scotia, is this the Super Bowl or the Manning Bowl? The media coverage of this Super Bowl has been the most lopsided I've ever witnessed. I'm a very level-headed guy, so don't think I'm wrong on this. The coverage has been heavy on the Giants and Peyton's future. When the Patriots are featured, it's all about Gronk. I'm fine with most people picking the Giants because why not? They're a great team. But I think the 15-3 Patriots are pretty good too. I think the attitude is that the Patriots didn't really earn their way in because of Tebow and Cundiff. Even that thought is not without some merit, but what the hell does that have to do with the Patriots versus the Giants? The worst offenders are Mike and Mike. What the hell is going on with this lazy sports media? If I were a Giants fan, I would be very pleased to know that when we won Super Bowl 42, we also won Super Bowl 46 at the same time. That David Tyree should get two rings. Suck it, ESPN.
All right, I have a question.
That's why I don't read the newspaper.
I have a question for Phil in Nova Scotia. Did he feel the same way about the lopsided coverage in 2007 when it was all about New England 18-0 going for 19-0 and there was no talk about the Giants?
You can understand that. I will admit that that was lopsided coverage.
Okay, I just want to know if he felt the same
way. Do you really think this has been lopsided coverage?
Oh, yes.
I mean, Peyton Manning has been a huge part of this coverage. That I agree with.
Yeah.
He's a huge story. We're in his town.
Right.
And he's a huge story. I'm talking about the Giants and Patriots.
Well, when it's not Peyton, it's Eli.
Okay.
And when it's not Eli, it's Brady.
You know?
I mean, I don't know how many times we've pointed to the TV and snickered among the three of us. Yeah, there's some more of that, you know, bashing the Patriots. You know, is Brady best ever? Yesterday was one of the things.
But you got to hear it because it's not. Then they say, no, he's not good anymore.
And that's disrespectful.
No, then they say, if he wins on Sunday, I think he will be.
That is disrespectful.
Yeah. And saying that, you know, in the most recent playoff games, Eli Manning has played better than Tom Brady. That's a sign of disrespect to you. This is what happens to you and your lemmings. Wow. You get yourselves all riled up for about facts.
Or Mellings, as Andy likes to
say. So you don't believe Tom Brady's good anymore?
I think he's great. I think he's the best ever. As Bill Belichick says often, there's no one I'd rather have.
But sucked
The fact is,
and he
in his most
Sunday.
Recent playoff games, he's been very uneven. Whereas Eli Manning has been pretty good. That's a fact.
Six touchdowns in a game. I believe and then, that's a record.
And then none the next game.
So that's
how that goes uneven. One up, one down. That's the definition of uneven.
And which would lead you to believe that he'll be up again on Sunday.
Right.
Plus the fact that he's playing a bad defense again, just like he played against Denver. When he played a good defense, his performance went down. That's usually how it works. Mm-hmm. When the other guy's good, you struggle. When the other guy's not good, you'll be good.
Are we 5-6 now? Six and five. Last 11, something like that. Again, uneven.
6-5, last 11.
Uneven. One up, one down.
Right.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Dan in Washington, D.C. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
How's Indy?
It's great.
You know what?
Indy's treating us well.
You know what? We love it so much, Andy and I are going to come back at the end of the month.
The NFL is so...
Eric is definitely coming back at the end of the month.
Without you.
The NFL is so powerful now they can control the weather. It's unbelievable. It's like mid-50s here.
It's funny. It's the weather here is about as cold as it was in Arizona 4 years ago. Only it seemed cold over there, and it seems a lot warmer over here.
When the Super Bowl got awarded to Indy? I don't know if it was the mayor of Indianapolis or the governor of Indiana, but someone higher up said that there will be 60. It will be 60 degrees in February at the Super
Bowl. Jokingly?
I don't think so. I think that they were saying that the weather is a little bit warmer than you whatever, probably wishful thinking, but it turned out to be pretty darn close to true.
Yeah.
And that was like 4 years ago or whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
we're only a 2-hour drive to Chicago, right?
Something like
Well, these guys are here every February, Fred.
They'll tell you how cold it is.
Windy.
Right,
I always put my hat and gloves on to walk to the combine.
This is incredibly good luck.
I mean, we haven't really even needed coats.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm going to be heading out there.
Oh, when are you coming, Dan?
I'm coming out on Friday night.
Well, that's when it's supposed to get a little bit colder.
By the time you get it, it'll be snowing.
Shorts and tank
raining.
Top, baby.
So
shorts
just be prepared. Just be prepared. It might be a little bit colder than it is now.
I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to any Super Bowl, and never mind one with the Patriots, so looking forward to it.
Oh, you're going to have a good time.
Hey, I just wanted to make a couple points about the game. Number one is, you know, and there's always the disclaimer in the NFL that, you know, anything can happen, you know, on any given Sunday. We've heard it a million times. But the Giants, I've been listening not overly listening, but listened to a lot of the media over the last week and a half. Every time I hear a Giant talk, or anyone from the Giants camp, or they are so overconfident.
I agree.
And I do not understand how a team that's 9-7 in the regular season can
because
be
overconfident.
Because they've been listening to the media.
Well, I don't care about the record, but I think that they are very loose and very confident. I totally agree with you on that.
I think they've crossed into cocky.
Absolutely. I was surprised.
I'm not sure that's
The one game they have under their belt coming in is the NFC Championship game, because I thought San Francisco was a very tough team this year. I thought they were a lock after they beat the Saints. But so the Giants have that under their belt. I mean, that was a close game. But there's all this talk about the Giants' pass rush, and I got to tell you, our offensive line is listening to all that. And I think our offensive line has had an incredible year this year, and I think they're a lot better than they were in comparison back to the 2008 Super Bowl. And we also have, our tight ends are part of the pass protection game as well as the run game, more involved. And so, I don't know, I feel pretty good about it. I feel pretty good about that matchup. And on the other side of the ball, if I were the Giants, I would be somewhat concerned. I'm not going to say overly concerned, but somewhat concerned with the Patriots' pass rush. And the Patriots' pressure in the last couple games in the playoffs, I mean, Wolfork has really been holding down the fort in the middle. We've had some good pressure from the outside. Anderson and Spikes is a guy. I think he's a great player. He's one of the best linebackers I've seen play for the Patriots in a long time.
Yeah, I want to make a point about your earlier comment about the
thanks for the call, Dan.
The confidence level of the Giants. I think they feel like they have this team's number. Going back to that Super Bowl, even the preseason games, for the most part, they play each other every year at the last game of the preseason. And since 07, they've won, I think, most of those preseason games even, and, of course, the Week 9 game. So there's a little bit of that, New England versus Buffalo mentality before this year, where you're playing the Bills, you kind of – Even though you don't want to come on stage. No, it's not
that's
always
where
good.
It crosses over.
Right.
I think it's a bad thing if you're a Giants fan.
To win and working to win.
Yes, exactly.
If you expect to win, you're probably not going to win.
But right. I will say
and
this.
And I think they've gotten to that point,
I
the
do
Giants.
Too. I think they've crossed the cocky
They're
line.
Definitely way too loose. I see them dancing and doing all this. Andy and I were watching some highlights yesterday. They were doing these dances, breakdowns. One guy doing a beatbox and everybody dancing around him.
But it's one of those things. After the game, I'll tell. Oh, they were so loose. They were
having
fun making plays.
That's the way. I mean, that's what we do. We spit it after the fact. Say, see, well, that showed you how loose they were. They played. They played well because of it. But this confidence with the Giants, to me, I agree with Eric wholeheartedly about their feeling about this team, the Patriots. But this isn't new to just this game. They played Green Bay at whatever their name the stadium is now, MetLife Stadium. And, Fred and I watched that game pretty much in its entirety together after our game that day. And they had a chance to win. It was tied in the fourth quarter, and they lost. And they gave up a lot of points. I think they lost 38-35.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
same as the
when they were going, when they were getting ready to play in the playoff game in Lambeau, all you heard was these, real boastful, cocky comments from the Jets defenders. They ain't getting 38
Giants.
Again.
Yeah.
The Giants, rather.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They ain't getting 38 again. We're not letting them move the ball like that on us again. And I was thinking to myself, these guys are insane. They're going to Lambeau Field, and they're basically poking the bear.
Right.
But
and
they went out. That's one of the reasons why I picked Green Bay to win that game. I thought they were flapping their gums, and I thought they were, maybe a little bit overconfident. And it's one thing to – I don't care what you say, but to me it affects your mindset sometimes when you're talking like that. Like, I think there have been plenty of times the Jets have flapped their gums and backed it up, and there have been plenty of times they haven't. I thought the Giants were treading into that area where they were flapping their gums unnecessarily, but obviously they weren't. They went out and they did hold Green Bay to half of what they allowed in the regular season game.
And part of that, I think, Paul, is the fact that the Packers weren't themselves that day either.
Well, the Giants had something to do with it.
They did, but the Packers were also flat coming out of their
bye. They dropped a lot of passes, no question.
They had the whole issue with the assistant coach
and
his son.
I agree.
There were elements, too, that made that game what it was for the Giants.
Yeah, the point that I'm trying to make is not necessarily how well the Giants played is how they acted before the game.
Yeah.
Very similar to their acting before this one.
It didn't hurt them.
It didn't affect their play. And I do think they got help. I think you're right, Eric. I think Green Bay stopped Green Bay.
And just like they got help in the 49ers game. I mean, those turnovers on special teams.
Just like the Patriots got help in the Baltimore game.
But why do you always have to do that?
James and Brisbane. It's the truth. And for consistency purposes.
That's negative.
Penn State head coach Bill O'Brien walked by while we were talking a few minutes ago on his way to practice.
And I happened to not be saying anything negative about the offense at the time, which marks the first time something's happened.
Well, he you've been engulfing the offense and him for about a year and a half.
Just because I don't think they need a deep threat means I've been engulfing.
When anybody says Bill O'Brien, he's the greatest coach ever.
Look what he's done. What's he done? Look what he's done.
The same thing every other Patriots offensive coordinator under Tom Brady does.
He didn't have to switch it. He didn't have to completely go 180 with a whole new offense the way O'Brien did. I think that was impressive.
Right. Talk to Billy O today during the Patriots session.
Eric, what
Freddie
did Billy O have to
and,
say?
And talking mostly about the transition going to Penn State. But I asked him, if he's now taking these last few days that he's going to be with New England, trying to appreciate it even more, knowing that he's not going to be here next week. And he had some really interesting things to say. I want to write about it and post it either later today or on the blog.
You're not
going to
tell
later
us
this
now.
Week.
I knew this was coming.
Well, if you want. But he did say that he's really going to miss this coaching staff and this team in particular because he has.
And Paul Perillo?
I think he likes PFW.
I think Paul might be going to be his SID.
I was thinking about
it.
I'll tell
you
what.
His desk.
I'll tell you what. He called me by my first name.
Paul's the only person I know who I've could turn Happy Valley into Sad Valley.
You're such an ass.
We'll turn it into Crappy Valley.
Jerry Sandusky.
Well, that's what you would do.
Andy,
that would be Andy
would
turn it into
Crappy
Valley.
Good one, guys.
James in Brisbane writes in, hope you're having a good time.
We are now.
Very much.
Glad to hear you're doing four shows this week. The more PFW, the better, especially if someone accidentally swears. Well, that could happen. So I had a thought
the other
day.
It hasn't already.
Does anyone remember how in 2009 – Dwight Freeney from the Colts had a high ankle sprain during the AFC Championship. From what I remember, he was fine until the extended halftime break.
Believe that's
when
true.
His ankle
that's
tightened
correct.
Up and he wasn't able to go in the second half. With that in mind, do you think the Patriots will tape, massage, shoot up Gronk's ankle for a massive impact in the first half, then during the second half look elsewhere for passing game success? I wouldn't be surprised to see Gronk enter halftime with 7 catches, 100 yards, and a TD, and finish the game with 8 catches, 105 yards, and a TD, as his ankle locks up as Madonna, no wait, Lady Gaga, or maybe it's Madonna, whichever one it is, it's the same tired act, grinds against a cardboard cutout of Eli Manning.
I'm wondering if just the opposite is true. If that is the case, and they're going by history with Freeney, what if they hold him till the second half?
And not play
spring
him at all.
Not play him at all in the first half. Get the Giants to think, he's not part of the game plan. Spring him on them in the second half.
I don't think so. If he can play, he's going to play, I think.
Yeah, I think he'll go as long as he can go, but I don't expect him to have a half where he's that productive, 7 for 100 or something like that. I don't expect that. I think he's going to be limited by that ankle in some fashion anyway.
So now we only need Chad Ochocinco to have a big half of football.
But I do – the comment about Freeney is dead on. That is exactly the way it unfolded. He went from the AFC Championship game, and he didn't play in the second half of that Saints Super Bowl a couple years ago. What is it, 09, I think.
Yeah, good memory, James. Al from Italy writes in. He said,
Alberto.
Buongiorno.
So this week I will stay up until 4 in the morning on a Sunday to watch the game. Can the running back be the key? Who's got the best running defense? And I want the lesser Andy and more Paul.
Suck it, Al.
That's right, Al.
Fat Al.
Who's got the best running defense? Answer Patriots.
Patriots.
Yes.
Patriots emphatically have the best defense. Giants run defense is real iffy. Patriots have been much more solid.
Okay.
I don't mean to be negative again, Fred, but that's just stating the facts.
Let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Karen is in Boston. Hey, Karen.
Hi, this is actually Flight Attendant Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, we
How
missed you,
you
on the flight.
Karen used to be one of our flight attendants, right?
I just called because I'm so excited that you're there.
So are we.
We are, too.
I
wish you were here.
I can't believe it. I'm just so excited.
Is that it?
He's a bucky.
No.
Okay. Don't rush her off. She just got here, Fred.
I just got here. I'm enjoying listening to you guys on the radio. And Fred, I love your live feed at the games.
Oh, the
multicast.
Yeah, whatever
yeah.
that is.
Thank you. Thank yeah. You're a contributor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whatever the little bit I have to say about football.
Well, that's okay.
But I'm excited about the game.
Yep.
I think the Giants are going to be a little surprised.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Did you?
And the rest of the media. Now, have you been watching ESPN and NFL Network and all that stuff?
Yes, I have.
And so what do you think? Do you think it's been fair coverage or do you think it's biased at all?
I definitely think it's biased. Well, it's Manning territory.
Yeah,
right there, you know
yeah
what
that's
I mean?
True.
So they're definitely going to be favoring the Giants and Eli and
yep.
all that stuff. But I saw a little bit of an interview with Ocho. And everybody keeps talking about they hope he's having they hope he'll have a good game. But that interview, he sounded so like
depressed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He looked it too.
Yeah.
He's conflicted. I really think he's conflicted because he's been waiting all his life to get to this point, and he feels the angst inside knowing that he did very little to get them to this point.
And the real him isn't even here.
I know. I know. So I would love to see him have a good game, but I feel like his mindset isn't there.
Yeah.
So maybe he can zen himself in there, but who knows? But that's all. I just wanted to say hi. I'm
okay,
so excited for you guys. I just can't believe we're there.
We miss you too, Karen.
It's good to hear from
Thanks,
you, Karen.
Karen.
That's Karen, who actually used to be one of our flight attendants.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the
big fan.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Big fan of all the stuff that we do, all the PFW stuff.
Yep. Freddie, you didn't tell us she takes part in the blog.
Oh, absolutely. Thousands do.
The curse words.
Yes, but we don't know thousands.
We know
it's her.
It's been over 10,000 for the playoffs.
Jordan from Athens, Georgia
really?
Says, the point is, who picks on a Wednesday?
Right.
There's time for the experts to pick the Pats. Perfect. The Giants splurge by the mainstream sports media is driving me insane, though. If you're going to say how the vaunted Giants defense allows 13 points per game in the playoffs, how can you not mention the Patriots' 15 game points per game? If the Patriots' D is still 31st in pass D, how aren't the Giants 29th? Thanks for being a reasonable voice for a Patriots fan away from the main fan base. Hope we can smack Bayou Frankenstein Manning Jr. and get number 4.
Well, and just because the Giants' defense has held teams to 13 points on average throughout the playoffs doesn't mean they're going to do it again in this game. I mean, look back to the 03 or the 04 playoffs when the Colts were racking up 40 points a game and they come in to snowy Gillette and they scored, what, 3?
Right, right.
I mean, that doesn't – just because you're doing something doesn't mean you're going to continue
right,
to do
that's
it.
Right.
I mean – that was a little bit of extenuating circumstances, but I would also say.
But they had just come off two games where they
right,
like,
and they played in a blizzard
it.
And they couldn't score.
It wasn't a blizzard.
It wasn't a blizzard.
Of course it was.
It wasn't a
come
blizzard.
On.
It was snow flurries.
I'm sorry. It technically wasn't a blizzard. It was just very windy and snowy. But anyway,
it wasn't even that windy.
Okay, it wasn't that windy. Do you remember the ball that Manning threw on the sideline that took a left hook to Ty Law? Anyway. It wasn't windy.
Oh, man.
Are they fighting?
Yes.
Now he's demeaning past accomplishments.
Don't you think?
it's not even what they're going to do. It's what they've already put in the books.
What does it have to do with demeaning an accomplishment? I'm simply saying there was a reason they didn't score the same amount of points.
But
the weather had a fact. The Patriots didn't score many points that day either.
I'm not saying
Patriots didn't beat the Colts.
Not,
the weather
I'm
did.
I'm not saying they should have scored the same amount of points they scored against the Chiefs, but they only scored 3.
Right. But
they should have scored
the
more than that.
The weather was the biggest factor of the game was the weather.
And the Patriots
period.
Defense.
Period. Oh. The biggest factor of the game was
wow.
the weather.
Wow. Wow.
Every
wow.
other time that they've played the Colts in normal weather conditions, they've scored at least 24 points.
Wow.
More often than not, over 30.
Indoors.
To be fair to
no,
the Giants.
No, not just indoors, Fred. The opening day of the following year at Gillette Stadium, they scored 24.
They should have scored more than 3 points. They got intercepted, what, 4 or 5 times
right.
in that game?
Right, exactly.
Come on.
Exactly.
Come
now,
on.
Also, when you're talking about defenses right now and the way they're playing, do you think there's a difference between playing Denver and Baltimore as opposed to Green Bay? In Atlanta?
Baltimore's got a much better defense, yes.
I'm talking about offenses. Oh, I said, gosh. Listen to the question before you answer it.
Snippy.
The offenses that the Giants have played have been better than the offenses the Patriots
Far
have played
better.
In the playoffs. Would you say that's true
I don't know
or
about
not?
Atlanta. Certainly Green Bay.
Atlanta was very good until they weren't.
Talk about up and down.
Uh-huh. All right, then we'll just say Green Bay.
Right.
Is Green Bay better than Denver?
Without a doubt.
Thank you. All right.
Okay.
I finally got him to agree to something. I feel like I've accomplished something. Green Bay is better than Denver.
You were agreeing with each other earlier, and you said you can believe it.
God,
in this show.
Larry writes, and I know why everybody...
How he turns everything negative, I don't get.
He's a very negative man.
I know why everybody hates the Patriots. In the last 11 years, they have been in the Super Bowl 45% of the time.
Who is this?
If Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
If I was
Thank you for bringing some sanity to the show.
If I was an AFC team or a fan of a deferent team, I don't know what that means.
Different.
He wrote deferent.
Yes, but
I mean, could you
know what he meant?
Eric, if you were reading the email, what would you have read?
Different.
Or a different team in the AFC. I would hate the Patriots also. Why not us would be all I could think about. The Patriots used to be the seller team we could always beat. Why can't we do this? All I've heard from most of the talking heads is we can't play with the New York Giants. I see the green-eyed monster everywhere. Go Patriots. Beat the you-know-what out of them.
I think they will.
Green-eyed monster?
Yeah.
Jealousy?
Jealousy. Oh. Absolutely. Let's go to the
Never
phones.
Heard that expression, the green-eyed monster?
Nope.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that Human Euro wasn't at the media session today that Eric was at. And
right.
I evidently, according to a tweet that Kevin just showed me, he was fined $20,000 for missing it.
Good.
And a lot of people waiting for him, too. A lot of people clamoring around his riser.
Yep, see, they're getting cocky. Mully is in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mully.
I agreed, Fred, with that. Yeah. They are getting cocky.
Hey, Mully.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Oh, we're doing it here in Indy.
Yeah, seems fun. I'm still, like, slightly in shock that we're in the Super Bowl. You know, like, you think about it at the beginning of the year, like, you know, what if they got here, but we're actually here, and it's kind of just amazing.
You know what? But we've been saying it all along, and so have you guys out there listening. If when you look at the AFC, if not the Patriots, then who? Right? Haven't we been saying that all along?
Yeah.
All the competitors for the Patriots, except for Baltimore, eliminated themselves either by injury or ineffectiveness.
And were severely flawed.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
They all got hurt
to begin with.
Well, I think that Houston would have not been flawed had their quarterback not gotten hurt.
Okay.
I think Pittsburgh would not have been flawed had their quarterback not gotten hurt.
What I think is even more surprising.
You know, San Diego, they were flawed because their quarterback played badly.
I think what's even more surprising to me is the fact that right before the lockout ended, and you know there was that week where we were trying to rush to get everything going for the season. People were saying, "Oh, Bill's got to do something. He's got to sign some free agents. He's got to make moves." And then they did that. They signed Ocho Cinco. They got they traded for him.
And the evil NFL Network declared them the winners of the offseason and Super Bowl champs.
Right.
And now everybody's surprised they're in the Super Bowl.
No. Here's what I think is surprising is that they got to the Super Bowl basically without the two big guys that they signed.
Well, that's true.
I think people were saying, oh, they got these guys. They're definitely going to the Super Bowl. Well, they got to the Super Bowl, but not because of Haynesworth or Ocho Cinco.
That's a very good point,
Eric.
That's
absolutely true.
That's a good point. And I think that's what made this season so intriguing is – you know, how they did it. They didn't do it the way we thought they were going to when, you know, they picked up these guys in the offseason. So
yeah.
that's a very good point, Eric. Good job. As good as your driving last night.
It's also interesting how the guys that, you know, people kind of rushed off, like, I think Mark Anderson is one of the most underrated players on the line. Like, Kyle Love, another great player, I think, who stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it funny just how, like, you know, Ocho, Sean Ellis, these guys were supposed to be these big-time players that were going to come in and, you know, start and make an impact. But
right.
It's really a lot of it is these, you know, just low guys.
Well, and in fairness, too, we should mention Andre Carter, who was a huge reason why the defense did what it did for a while. And he would have been the one aberration there, that he was a big-name guy that they brought in who actually contributed.
Yeah,
and
Anderson panned out and Ocho and Haynesworth. You're absolutely right. A lot of people went gaga over Ocho and Haynesworth, and they didn't pan out. I did not expect Ocho to be such a small part of the offense, but I didn't think he was going to be a huge part either. I didn't think he was going to catch.
I
didn't think he'd catch 50 balls.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think he would catch 15 either.
Right.
There's a big gap.
Oh yeah,
I was hoping for 40 to 50 balls, and didn't even.
I thought
close.
He'd be a contributor. Haynesworth, I never gave a glimmer of hope for from the start.
See, I was wrong there. I thought he would contribute,
but you know. I just think it is funny how you look back and you think one thing and then it almost never turns out to be that way.
All right, thanks for the call. Who was that? Mully.
Yeah.
TG quickly in NJ says, Fred, that buzz you hear is Andy and Paul. It's their buzz kill. So excited and upbeat going into the Super Bowl, listening to those two. I got to listen to the pregame show more. Got to get more balance with those two chowder heads. Andy's just checked out. He's not.
I don't even,
know
what that means.
I think Andy's tired.
I don't understand how I can say I think Ocho Cinco is going to be a fact, how I think the Patriots are going to win, and I'm a buzzkill.
Have you worn out, Andy? Are you done?
People don't listen.
I told you. They hear what they want to hear.
I'm just a little
hear what you want to hear.
No matter how many times you say that this game has a lot of matchups that the Patriots are dominant in, they're only going to hear the ones that you think the Giants have the edge in. That's all they're going to hear.
I'm disappointed that we're not going to have a pregame social for the Super Bowl.
Saturday is a pregame social.
Well, I know, but it's not the same.
You're not on that show anyway.
Yes, he is. I contribute to it.
He's a contributor.
Well, the last 15 minutes.
He's on the show. I'm not willing to say he's a contributor.
He tells us what time Brady came on the field for
pregame. You really are. I'm going to beat you with this microphone.
Is this going to be a St. Paul's reenactment?
Let's see.
St. Mark's?
Scott writes in.
You had it right the first time.
I know.
Scott writes in. He says, to Rational Fred, Little Napoleon, Uncle Fester, and Rue Eric. Screen.
Who are those?
Are you Little Napoleon?
I don't know. Can we get?
I'm Uncle Fester.
I must be Rue Eric. But...
Rue Eric. Cover the
what
back.
What is Rue Eric?
Road?
It's yeah, French. Street in French.
That makes no sense. What does that mean?
Unless I'm ruining
the fact that you, after we came back from England and even in New Orleans, you were always writing rue this rue and
bon.
Rue that.
Yeah.
Rue bon. I rue the day you use the rue.
Bon vivant. Thanks, Fred. That's what I was looking for.
I'm here in New Orleans. I don't know where to put my hands. It's on my hip. It's at my side. I have a wrinkled green T-shirt on.
We woke Andy up.
I did fade for a minute there. I dozed off.
I thought for a second that I was going to poke to make sure you were still
breathing. I wish we hadn't woken him up, Fred.
But anyway, Scott says, screen. Cover the backside, no huddle, and tire them out would be the way I think I would slow down the pass rush. Given that Josh is back, could we see a few more running back screens? God knows we have not seen many of those this year. Is that because of the personnel?
Really hurt the offense.
Is that because of the personnel, or have we supposedly graduated from running back screens to tight end screens? Speaking of running backs, is there any chance that we see any of the gravy train? I'm along for the ride, folks, as real participants. I am. I don't know what that means. Yeah, okay.
Today, Junior!
What's the gravy train? I don't get it.
I don't know.
The stable of running backs, is that what he's referring to?
You'll see Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Didn't a certain rookie on this team say something to somebody that he was going to be active on Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah, and then he kind of took a step
I believe he tweeted that out on Tuesday. Today I asked him, to paraphrase Vince Wilfork, point blank.
Mm-hmm. Point blank.
And he sort of backed off that.
Oh, he did?
Didn't say he wasn't playing, but he said, you know, I'm excited and I'm going to be ready to be out there. If I get my opportunity, I'll make sure I'm ready.
Uh-huh.
So he did not say, I am going to
so
be
So he
active.
Walked it back a little bit is what
you're
saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
Little Trot Nixon.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
How you doing, buddy?
Hanging in there. You guys usually know me as just pretty level-headed and, you know, one of the more, you know, normal
that's
Patriots
what I often say.
Calls.
Yeah, Christian, he's
he's
level-headed.
Except when he's yelling at me.
Except for when
no, that's when he's really level-headed.
Didn't you want to fire the staff after the second loss of the season?
Me? No, that wasn't me. That was someone else.
Okay.
That was the West Coast Christian.
Fourth and two, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. You got me. That's right, the West Coast Christian. But I'm watching NFL Network the other day, and it was media day, so I'm streaming it live on the computer. And,
sorry, Andy. Loser.
Waiting for the team to come out with Marshall Faulk goes, you know, why doesn't somebody understand someone the last time Tom Brady won in the stadium? So Warren Sapp goes, the 2003 AFC Championship game. So Marshall Faulk goes, really? And so he turns to his side and he goes, I don't know. So Marshall Faulk goes, yeah, that's curious. He goes, you know, I don't think Tom Brady's ever won in the stadium. And Warren Sapp goes, I'm telling you, 2003 AFC Championship game.
Yeah, the building wasn't built at that point.
And the 2003 AFC Championship game was at Gillette Stadium.
Right.
Yeah, it was here. That's number one. Number two, I think Brady's played in the stadium once.
That's right.
Stadium,
I believe that's
right.
2009,
the fourth and two game is the only time Brady's ever played
that's
there.
That's right, because Castle played in it the year before.
So there's all you need to know about the media coverage.
Okay? Thank you. Thank you, Christian.
Marshall Faulk?
Yeah, exactly. That's all you need to know. And listen, I was pumped when we got Ocho. So like everybody else was, expecting big things from him.
Yeah.
Why on earth is everybody this week coming out saying that he's going to have 5-6 catches and he's going to have a great game in the biggest game of the year, on the biggest stage of the year, Tom Brady is not going to all of a sudden develop a rap sport within the last game of the year. I'm sorry.
That's what I say, Christian.
It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying.
It's crazy.
As much as we'd all love to see it, I just can't.
Why?
No, I can't either. I can't do it.
For exactly the reason Christian just said.
But desperation leads to, you know, trying stuff.
Okay.
And if
but don't you think they would go more to, I don't know, guys who have played during the year, like a Ridley maybe, you know, coming out of the backfield, throwing him some passes, maybe a Kevin Falk.
Yeah.
Throwing him some passes.
And Andy, I think if either team gets desperate, I think they lose.
But what I said was, if Gronk's not able to play at a high level, it's going to be a little bit of a lot of people. I'm just not eliminating Ocho Cinco from being one of those people. I think you'll see the backs. I think you'll see Ridley out wide, potentially, Woodhead out wide, you know, all kinds of various situations. But I don't eliminate Ocho Cinco from being a possibility because he is the guy who has the best resume. I know it's a long time ago and it's not here. I know he hasn't proven anything here, but he's proven more in the NFL than other guys have, and I just don't eliminate the possibility that he could be a factor in this game.
I think ESPN must be listening to the show because Mark Schlereth is saying the X factor could be Julian Edelman. So, all right, it's
All right, guys.
Thanks for the call.
See you, Christian.
It's 1:26. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health. Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
We all know Paul Perillo isn't afraid of a microphone or a camera.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
During the season, Paul can be seen on programs like PFW TV, Patriots All Access, Patriots Today, and Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight. He can also be heard daily on Patriots.com during PFW In Progress, or on 98.5 The Sports Hub during, well, any show that will take him.
I need more airtime. I'm going to make that clear.
And we thought Andy had a big head.
Maybe it'll be Patriots Today's Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, our version.
As long as Paul Perillo was involved in that version, I'm all for it.
Now, back to the PFW boys live from Indianapolis.
All right, welcome back to PFW In Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. Joe in Indy writes in, just want to keep Patriots fans apprised of some happenings this weekend. I can't listen live today, so I apologize if you've covered any of this. Friday night, the Indy Pats fans bar, Spencer's Stadium Tavern, across from Lucas Oil, is inviting everyone to come meet up. This includes the PFW crew, if they can make it. Full disclosure, my dad is a huge Patriots fan, and he owns the bar. On Saturday, Scott Zolak will be broadcasting from Broad Ripple in an effort for Patriots fans to take over a bar. I'm not affiliated with this event, so I don't know all the details. Check with 98.5, the Sports Hub. I've heard there will be an Eli jersey burning and other shenanigans. Hope you're enjoying Indianapolis. So far, I'm proud of how we're handling everything. And you should be. Indy has done
a great,
great job so far as far as what we can see.
Hasn't started yet.
You're unbelievable.
I'm just saying. Well, I don't think we can praise them till it actually
just
happens.
Just so you know, neither Houston nor Jacksonville, from what you guys told me, I was in Houston. You guys told me neither one of those two cities handled this part of the week as well as Indy's handled.
But you're right,
their
Paul.
Fault.
They're spread out. It's a
I'm just talking about knowing where to go and how to get there and doing it. Everybody seems to be on point here.
Yeah, half the battle, Andy, has always been locale. Where proximity to things.
Right. And you can't you can't blame Houston because it took 45 minutes to get from the hotel to
the media center or whatever.
But I don't think it was run as well, that's all. I think this has been a lot better.
Mike in sunny Florida says, do you think Gronk will get tired of being a robot like he was at Media Day? I wonder if it's good to squash his personality for too long. Also, wouldn't it be a better strategy to show Gronk on crutches and a boot all week so the Giants may possibly let their guard down just a bit? What is the benefit of showing him as progressing well from the injury? Well, maybe if he really is hurt. So it can go the other way, too.
I'm not going to lie to you, Freddie. That thought, thank you, Eric. That thought has crossed my mind, that maybe they intentionally got the boot off because they know he's going to be really, really limited, but they want the Giants to make sure that looking at it as – business as usual, prepare the same way you normally would.
And Tom Coughlin did say that today.
Looks like he's progressing well. I heard him say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that he's preparing his game plan as if Gronk were healthy and going to play the entire game. They have a backup plan in case he doesn't, but they're going in with plan A being Gronk's playing.
And the backup plan is to do high fives and chest bumps.
Melissa in New Jersey writes
right?
in.
I mean, that was the best player on their offense yeah. isn't on the field. Here's the plan. Woohoo!
Melissa in New Jersey says, how can you even begin to say Brady is not as good as he was before? Rodgers, Breeze, and Brady all came out on top this season. Baby-faced Eli Manning has nothing on these greats. This year, Brady has been able to move around in the pocket like never before. He's more mature. He's more level-headed. And most of all, this entire team battles back. I don't even want to hear that the Patriots haven't made it in a fair and square season. Football is football. The Ravens would have won that game if Sterling Moore didn't make a phenomenal end zone play. Sure, Cundiff missed a field goal. Don't forget, that only would have brought us into overtime. And it's not like we could have predicted Tebow mania coming to play us. Tebow beat the Steelers.
Some of us did.
They had a chance. In the end, we outplayed them.
Tom in Pensacola.
Tom Brady outplayed them. He has had a phenomenal season. And I just can't believe you would even say he's not as good as he used to be.
Who said that?
I think it was you.
No. At number one. Who said that the Patriots didn't get here fair and square?
I think that was you, too.
No. Who said that...
I was getting a lot of blame here from Andy.
Well, this is it's backing up my point of people will hear what they want to hear.
They only hear what they want to hear.
We were talking about Brady's recent postseason performances, so? Correct?
Right.
So that has nothing to do with the regular season. Like, the fact that Patriots went 14-2 last year is completely irrelevant. Just like it's irrelevant that the Giants went 9-7 this year. Who wins on Sunday is going to be the only relevant thing, right?
Right.
It's not negative or positive.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with it. None of that will have anything
right.
to do with
and
it.
And given that, I don't understand why both teams aren't getting equal respect.
And that's why the Patriots are favored. Because based on what they've done so far, it's been better than what the Giants have done so far.
You wouldn't yes. know it. Higgins in Hopkinton writes in, I had a dream last night. Tom Coughlin asked me for advice on defense. He said they were going to do a very aggressive press coverage scheme with one safety deep. I don't believe the Patriots will throw deep, and we'll try to keep wide receivers at the line and slow down that 2.4 seconds Brady snap to throw time. I think the weak spots will be the middle with auxiliary looks. I hope the Patriots win, and Chad lights them up. So Higgins and Hopkinton had a dream.
Higgins. Zeus, Apollo.
What?
Magnum P.I. reference?
Going from
Higgins.
I thought Magnum you were going P. My Fair Lady.
No.
No? Matt, back at home.
Yeah, how about that? Flash?
Dead paying attention, don't worry.
Yeah, we can't hear you anyway.
Olaf Hedberg from a too-cold Sweden says, me and my friends would watch the Patriots win on Sunday, even though it starts at midnight in Sweden. We have to go to school just a few hours after it ends. Totally worth it. Go Patriots. I'm sure we will win.
Oh, great shoe, by the way.
Great shoe, by the way.
That really changed halfway through.
I didn't know if it was Logan Mankins or someone in Sweden.
It went from the Swedish chef to Logan Mankins.
Yeah.
Tim in Baltimore says, what will be more affected by Gronk's high ankle sprain, run blocking, pass blocking, or receiving?
I think this is a great question.
But that is a good question. Depends which side
What do you guys
on.
Think? I'm going to defer to Mr. Football on this one, I think.
Well, blocking-wise, I think he'll be fine on the right side, not so good on the left.
He wasn't talking about you, Andy.
No, I was.
He didn't say Mrs. Draft.
Guy blames you for all this stuff, and then
yeah, but if you
Mr.
think
football,
about it,
well, you know, you were blaming me for stuff too.
Are you guys done?
No, I wasn't.
You want to talk football? You want to BS all day?
But I do. Don't you think that's kind of interesting? Because I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, just keep him in as a blocker and use him as a decoy in the passing game." But
right.
I'm not sure that works.
Decent on the right side. I think he might struggle on the left because you're generally kind of stepping down, blocking to the inside, and that's your outside mm-hmm. foot is your power foot, your push foot. So on the right side, his right foot is the good foot. It'll be his push foot. And then conversely, when he's on the right side, it'll be easier for in cuts. When he's on the left side, it'll be easier for out cuts.
You get all that?
Right? I'm being serious
right?
here.
Yeah, no, I, you know.
If correct. I'm a DB and I'm lined up
you,
in front
you
of
certainly
him,
are.
And he's on
yeah.
the right
oh.
side, I'm going to say, I'm going to favor it to the inside. I think it's easier. I think he'll be delayed to the outside. I don't think he'll have sharp breaks to the outside. So mm-hmm. that gives me an advantage. So I'm shading him to the inside. On the other side, I'm doing the opposite.
because I think he'll be slower on to push off that left foot to break in. I think he'll be quicker to push off and break out. Right? Wouldn't you be doing that?
Sure. Absolutely makes sense.
Good Lord.
Right up until the time he's able to make that cut without any problem and you're dead.
Oh, sure. Or how about
the Roy Green?
Or how about the part that he makes the cut with a little problem and I'm still only 5'11 and he's still 6'6, so even though I was there, he beats me.
Right. Okay.
VIP Strippers has a fun fact. He says if a player wants to change his number, he has to pay Nike enough money to cover the old jersey's number already printed. So Adrian Peterson went nuts on Twitter just now talking about it. So he's keeping his number 28 instead of paying $1 million to Nike.
Why does Nike already have so many jerseys printed before they've even started?
And why does he want to change his number?
Yeah, that's the bigger question. Why is he changing his number?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a new number.
I mean, it's like why? Not, it's not like Ocho Cinco changing his name. Why do you need to change your number in the middle
of your
career?
I'm sure Strippers knows the answer since he's obsessed with Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
That is a little weird, though. But, yeah, for the Nike thing, they want to have their jerseys ready to go because as soon as the season ends, their contract begins, doesn't it?
Shouldn't he have told them in advance? I mean, how long have they been printing these? For years?
Well, maybe he didn't think it would be a big deal.
Well, then he should have thought sooner.
Jared in Swampscott writes, and I'm frantically trying to catch up on the PFW in Progress and pregame social podcast before the Super Bowl.
Why?
As I've been very behind since the birth of my daughter in late August.
Congratulations. What?
In late August.
But rest assured, she roots for the Patriots every Sunday with her dad, thinks we have a 70% chance of beating the Giants.
She does.
And already understands that Eric is a pompous ass. Which reminds me, the unspoken benefit of home field advantage the past few weeks is that we readers haven't had to endure any of Eric's freshman composition postcards.
Wow.
Holy mackerel.
Jared just wishes he could write, that's all.
Oh, there you go.
Clearly.
Yep. Bobby writes in, Bobby, he says, we have thought about the possibility, or have we thought about the possibility of the Patriots benefiting from Gronk's injury? If Gronk were healthy, he would for sure be double-teamed most of the game. With him injured, I see it like this. If they still double-team him, it's a win for us. And even if they don't, one-on-one versus slightly injured Gronk is still a matchup I like.
How do we know he's slightly injured?
Yeah, no matter what, it's a disadvantage to have him injured. Yeah,
rather have him healthy.
Always.
You can't spin it.
Good to have every player out there healthy.
Because, you know,
believe it or not, we try to start fast
even
every game.
Even if he has a huge game, the Giants know that he's out there. So it's not like he's going to catch them by surprise. They're not going to get caught into the "we didn't think he was healthy" thing, and that's why. They might say that. Listen, Gronk could go out and catch 10 for 150, and the Giants will say, look, we just didn't think he was. That's crap, because they know that he is how dangerous he is.
And shame on them if they weren't prepared for that.
He's not sneaking up on anybody, so I agree with Fred. There's no real benefit to having him hurt.
Jonathan in Boston writes in, you guys are absolutely right about the hyped-up Giants defense. This isn't the 86 Bears or even the 2011 Ravens. This is a 9-7 team who played average against the Falcons, great against the Packers, and average against the 49ers, who gave them the game. I will take it one step further. I think the Patriots win this game by 10 or 14 points, with the Giants scoring a late TD to make it seem closer than it really was.
No, they'll win by more. They'll win by 22 points.
Wow.
But the Patriots will get the late touchdown to make it look even worse than it is.
Eric, you're really
I'm one of these people picking on Wednesday.
Okay. But you really think you're very
I do
confident.
Think it's going to be a lopsided game in the Patriots' favor.
Wow.
I do. Oh. I think Eli is going to have a bad game. I know Paul's mad at me for making that kind of prediction.
There you go, being negative again.
Yeah, but he's usually wrong.
No, I'm just saying he's
remember when he picked the Broncos to kill him?
I was trying to point out the irony of
in the regular season
of predicting a win and calling it negative.
22-point win.
Robert writes in, hey, guys, just wondering if you heard any of the story Glenn Ordway told on the Big Show. Apparently someone on the Patriots lost something valuable like a Rolex or something. So in the team meeting, Bill Belichick asked the team who had lost something valuable because he has it for whoever lost it. Apparently, Ocho Cinco stood up and said, Coach, I lost my game. Ordway said the whole team, including Belichick, had a good laugh over it, and this story seems to contradict what the media is reporting on Chad's mindset going into the game. Who knows, but an interesting story nonetheless.
That's a funny story.
That is,
it is.
If it's true. If it's true, yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me of Vrabel's story.
I can't say it.
It's about the BJs. And not the wholesale club.
Oh. What? Okay.
Oh.
You shouldn't bring up things you can't talk about.
and then he talks about them right up until the point where he doesn't say the actual word.
Is the audio getting worse and worse by the minute? Like, I...
What's wrong?
Like you can't hear
it's
as well?
It's getting all like muffled and I just think sounding you're in a coma. Funny. And
you've been in a coma for 45 minutes.
Yeah. Ramon from Dallas writes,
mine is definitely worse. I can barely hear
I'm a Patriots
guys.
Fan, and I'm rooting for the Patriots to obliterate the Giants. However, I must admit, I don't believe we look like the same power team in these big games. I think Belichick panics and Brady chokes. I do hope they hear all the criticism and come out with the heart and energy I expect of champions. I know they could win this game. I hope they share my sentiment. The question now is, that bomb play to Slater, is it possible to run it as a decoy? Hear me out. Line up in that formation and send Slater deep to draw double coverage. With the middle wide open, wouldn't we be able to get Branch, Benny, or Hernandez a big play?
If Tom decides to throw it that way, yeah.
No, but I think the point is, if they decide to double team him, you know. Right.
Well, if they decide to double team Slater, like the like the Ravens did,
right? I think Brady had other options on that play.
That's my point.
Right. Sure.
So yeah, they could use it as a decoy if Tom doesn't, you know, decide to pull the trigger and try to go for it all.
Gandalf from Middle Earth writes in.
Oh boy!
I just watched the PFW TV from last week. For some reason, the audio was out of sync with the video by a couple seconds. During the trash talk segment with Paul and Andy, I thought I was watching a poorly dubbed kung fu movie. It was hilarious. I kept waiting for Andy to say, "Ah, so you want to fight? Let's fight." Perhaps this should be an intentional approach to this segment of the show that ultimately ends the argument with either a sword fight or wrestling match.
That's Bush. Bush League.
I did ask Andy to go over the table once. I wanted to
beat him
that
senseless?
Up. Yeah, he didn't do it, though.
No?
Oh, you know what? Didn't we talk about something for next week, Paul, about
best of?
Cutting them all up into like one argument, having
right.
them edit it.
Right.
And then we both can say we both won.
Right. You'll still get the last word.
John in South Carolina writes in, I agree much of the hate for the Patriots comes from the fact that we have been successful, and successful in a way that is not fun for most sports media. Right. As a person outside of New England, I think I feel the negative press more because we do not get the positive stuff from the New England media. My only pro New England media is you guys. At any rate, I do not think we can get
Eric's
to Manning.
Being negative.
Right. So you can imagine how negative everyone is.
No, I think John's making a good point because when you're not here and all you deal with is that, and I totally agree, and someone, I think it was Larry earlier in the show, I think a lot of people nationally hate us because we win. And
the way they hated the Cowboys and
exactly.
the Niners.
I absolutely despise San Francisco. Could not stand San Francisco. They won every year. I hated them.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that there's a lot of that, and couple that to the way that John said, I think the way he put it was in a way that's not fun for the media.
Right.
And I think that's an interesting way to put it
because
Bill's not, you know, one of those guys that's, you know, having lunch with Peter King and, you know, and all of that, you know.
Peter King.
You know, he's not rubbing elbows with those guys. That's not the way he plays it. He doesn't have any interest in that nonsense. So it's not fun for the media, just the way John described it. When you're not here, because the Boston media, it's totally the opposite. If Fred, Eric, Andy, and myself went on one of the local shows and talked the way we talk on this show, they'd kill us. There's nothing even close to any balance when it comes to the Boston teams, and not just the Patriots, all the Boston teams. You can't say anything about any of them. We've become Yahooville.
Let's see. John in South Carolina says, also, I do not think we can get to Manning by knocking him around. Can we get to him by making him think? Can we make the read so difficult he becomes flustered mentally? Just a thought. And, Paul, I'm sorry I called you an ignorant slut.
That's okay, but I think your email was excellent.
Let's go to the phones, 508-298-0398 is the A-Ticket hotline. Andrew is from Virginia, and he's a Giants fan. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Love this show, by the way. I'm really jealous. I've started a petition in Giants country asking the Giants to actually adopt your format because I just love what you guys got going on here in Patriotsville.
Do you think we're objective do you think we're negative?
Do you want Andy to do a show for you? He seems to be a big Giants fan.
Right.
I actually like that you're slightly skewed to less objective because the New York media is more objective than you'd want them to be, and there are absolutely no homers there. In fact, half the people on the New York Sports Network are Jets fans. So it's not really the same. I just really love your program. I've been listening all season long, and I've especially been listening this past week and turned a couple of Patriots fans I know onto the shows because they're great, in my opinion.
Well, thank you very much.
Wow.
How'd you find us?
Having been listening, some callers have called in, and I think they've represented an accurate assessment of, Eli Manning, what the Giants have been able to do this year. And then some are just kind of saying, recycling old material about, like, maybe Giants' weaknesses. And people saying that the 2007 Giants were actually a better team, I don't think that they are. I think the defense is playing as good, if not better, the past five games since they've been in a playoff atmosphere. And I think Eli has risen to twice the quarterback he was 4 years ago.
That's certainly true.
I don't really think that's arguable. I would agree with that.
I don't know about as a Giants fan, what is your opinion of the back end, the linebackers and the secondary? What have you seen from them all year and then of late?
I think the first thing about that secondary is they've overcome a lot of injuries. They lost their starting middle linebacker, and they lost their arguably best corner in Terrell Thomas for the season.
Right.
And they've overcome those injuries, and they've put rookies in there, and they've rotated through and had struggles early on to cover the middle of the field, but they've really overcome that. Jaquan Williams out of Jason Pierre-Paul's alma mater, those guys play together. They are playing exceptional football. Aaron Ross is in a contract year. He's played better, and I have gone on record as saying I thought Aaron Ross stunk. And he has actually played really well down the stretch when it mattered. Corey Webster has been great. And the safety has been good. Antrell Roll has been a safety. He's been a corner. He's been a nickel corner. He's done everything he's had to do to help this team win. And Kenny Phillips has also come up big. And he's a big-time run stopper. He's a strong safety. And he's had an interception or two, too, down the stretch. So they've been playing really, really well. Held Atlanta to 2 points. Which is basically all on the Giants' offensive line. They shut out Atlanta. So to say they didn't have a great game against Atlanta, I think, is a misnomer. They clearly played great against Green Bay in Green Bay, held them to 20 points. That's less than half of what they were averaging at home all year. And I think they played, the San Francisco game is all about Eli. I mean, he took 6 sacks, 20 knockdowns, and he still was lights out. He still hit big plays. He still found the open man. He was throwing guys open when they weren't open, facing a great secondary. So, I mean, that is just a phenomenal performance from the whole team. Special teams turnovers. I don't know how you can take away one of the facets of the Giants team, which is special teams. I mean, Bill Belichick himself said if you win 2 out of 3 facets of a football game, you usually win.
Mm-hmm.
Special teams and offense, Giants won. Defense, San Francisco won. So the Giants came away with that game. I mean, that's just team football.
So you sound pretty confident, Andrew. Are you?
I like this game. I am really excited. I think it's a better matchup than it was 4 years ago. The teams are,
absolutely
complete.
I mean, The
Patriots have gotten more and more complete as the season's gone on. They battled against Baltimore. I'm down here in Virginia, a lot of Baltimore fans. And I respect the Patriots, and I think it's going to be one of the great games in the last 10 years. I really do.
I have a question for you, Andrew. Did you hear us earlier in the show talking about how we felt like the Giants players were maybe talking a little too confidently and whether or not that could have an adverse effect on them on game day? You've been obviously following your team. Do you agree with that or no?
I think they've had the same even keel since the Jets game. And that's really what turns it around is they brought some mentorship people in for that Jets game on Christmas Eve. And ever since then, they've been doing the same amount of talking, saying they're very confident, they're ready to go. And they've played to a high level each and every week. And it's been about the same. I have not seen much acceleration in the trash talking. In fact, I did hear you say OC missed
his
media day. Mm-hmm. And I find that interesting because he's a guy that's always been painted as like a selfish guy wanting to have his contract renewed, possibly holding out. And here's a guy now looking at maybe one of his only Super Bowl opportunities in the next few years, if he does continue to play at a high level, kind of taking one for the team and not saying anything, that's going to be a distraction. I think maybe it was kind of a premeditated thing on his part. I haven't heard anyone say this other than myself, but to me, knowing OC, following the team for so long, it's kind of an odd move to miss your media day. But I guarantee you, he knew he was going to get these contract dispute questions, and I don't think he wanted to be a distraction.
Well, I'm hoping that it has a negative effect on the team.
Yeah, well, you know, he got fined $20,000, and I think he just didn't want to say the wrong thing, and he just knew he was going to get peppered with all the wrong kinds of questions.
Yeah,
so maybe he just took himself out of the fight there.
All right, Andrew, that's a great call.
Yeah. Thanks for letting all your friends know, too, all your Patriots fans.
Absolutely.
Friends.
Andrew is a he sounds like a very knowledgeable Giants.
Level-headed fan. Giants fan.
Of rare breed, for sure.
I knew he was going to take a shot.
Mile away, saw that one coming.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Brandon from California. Hey, Brandon.
Yeah, how's it going over there?
It's going great.
Oh, Brandon's high again.
And then I got high.
Well, yeah, I wanted to say something. Like, I think everyone is overlooking this offensive line that we have. Like, they just think that if Brady drops back, he's automatically going to get sacked because no one could block him.
It sounds that way, doesn't it?
We have a whole Pro Bowl line except maybe Ben, which, I mean, he had a great season, too.
Yep.
Yeah, anybody who thinks that must be high, don't you think?
Okay. Let's go smoke that joint.
Well, are you a little concerned about the tackles and their illnesses early this week?
Well, I seen his interview. He sounded fine. Like, I mean, I've been sick and played football, so it didn't really affect me, you know, because you're not really thinking about it when you're out there. So.
Right. Plus, there's still a few days to go before kickoff. So
they'll be ready. I think this whole team will be ready, and Belichick, every time I see him on in his little interview, he's smiling like he knows something that we don't know. So hopefully he does, and hopefully we get in there and do our job.
All right, Brandon. Thank you, Brandon. Tyler from Georgia writes in. He says, how dare you come in? This is to the Giants fan. How dare you come in here and compliment the show only to follow up with sound football logic? We have no room for your complimentary, knowledgeable BS on this show. Well put, Tyler. You like that?
That was good.
Steve says the Patriots had the best screen pass play in the league until the Jets picked it off last year in the playoffs. What happened to it this year, and why has it not been successful? Anyone? No? Okay.
We have two more shows this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a prediction.
What?
I'm going to have an explosion about the screen pass.
Okay, go.
Have it now. There's only 3 minutes left.
Have it now. Yeah, I know. We want to limit the explosion.
500 and how many points?
Well, if they were running the screen pass.
Maybe 700 we would have scored.
If they were doing the screen pass, people would be wondering where the draw play is.
Where's Vereen?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So what's your answer to that, Paul?
He hates the fans.
Yeah. He thinks they're stupid.
I just can't imagine the nitpicking that goes on in this offense. Defense, I get. The offense, I just don't get it.
Right.
Freddie, I have some news passed along by Kevin Collins, producer.
Yeah. Use your important voice.
The seven-man crew for the officiating crew for Sunday's game has been announced.
Okay,
let me...
John Parry will be the referee. Overall, there are 94 years of NFL experience on the crew and 69 playoff games.
Okay.
Carl Paganelli, Tom
Paganelli,
Gary Arthur, Gary Calavito, Laird Hexes, and Tony Steratore.
Now that we have the names, a representative of the Kraft family will be paying them a visit tonight to make sure they keep it fair.
It's Laird Hayes, by the way. What did you say?
Laird Hexes is on that.
Oh, Hayes.
Read it. Look at it.
Hayes. But I knew what the guy's name was. That's Zeus.
Oh, is it?
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, and
he don't take no crap.
No, oh.
I think Carl Paganelli was one of the gentlemen. I know there was three Paganellis. It was either Perry or Carl that was with us this summer.
Oh, yeah.
But there are a couple of different Paganellis that are in the league.
Dave, like the Gronk brothers of officiating.
Yes, there is.
Dave from Reno, Nevada says, don't you guys remember when the Patriots and Giants played earlier this year? The Giants players, when facing the hurry-up, two of them fell to the ground at the same time when they realized that the Patriots were going to score because they didn't have the right personnel on the field.
Yes.
And Brady was ramming it down their throats.
Oh.
Everyone wants to bring up Spygate, which is old news. Well, to me, this is cheating too. I haven't heard anyone talk about this. Why? I guarantee we will see it again on Sunday. Rules need to be changed to stop this. Yeah, I mean, they flopped like it wasn't even
embarrassing.
Yeah, they were like
six Premier... of them looked at each other all at once, and then like a couple of them fell.
Premier League soccer players.
It was like that. Remember when you were a little kid, you played that ring around the rosy, and then you all fall down? That's what it was
like.
True.
Didn't they get in trouble for doing it against the Rams? I don't know. On
a
Monday night game, I thought. And I thought that's when they came out with the comments.
There was
the Giants said we should have checked with each other or something
like
that.
There was a memo. Yeah, because on what? One of them, a guy actually got up. He realized he was like the third man down, and he hopped back up.
there's an email to Pete's show. We'll save it for Pete.
And his unique.
Alberto writes in. He
says, Alberto is back?
I've been a Patriots Different fan one. For a while now. Oh. I'm kind of tired about hearing Ocho Cinco in the screen game. These fans must not have watched any games. Our key to the game will be the run game. We can pass on the Giants, but if we can't run, it's going to be very intense. If the Patriots have a good game on offense, the defense will show up. Love the show. Hope we can come out of this with the Super Bowl and be champs once again. So that's Alberto from San Diego, California.
Go yourself, San
Diego. So do we have John Rook in the studio?
Yes, you do.
Hey, John, how you doing?
What's up, boys?
What's going on with the playbook today?
Playbook today, we're going to get to know our opponent, our enemy, a little bit more closely. I believe it's, is it Michael Eisen? Is that his name, Matt? Michael Eisen from Giants.com. And then we're going to also ask for our own fans to make the choices themselves for the final 45. So list the Patriots inactives.
Oh, okay. That's a fun little exercise.
List the Patriots inactives for the Super Bowl. Who is, let's just say, who do we not deem worthy?
Ryan Mallett.
That would be one.
Final 46.
Let's hope.
Right?
Yeah, let's
Donald
hope.
Donald Thomas.
Yeah, exactly. That might be another. So, but we thought we'd play with that a little bit. Yeah, I had a couple of fans Facebook me on that one today. And so, that's a good one. That's a good one. Who do we figure out on the roster today?
Game All right. Well, that'll be coming up today right after the break with the Patriots playbook. And, of course, at 4 o'clock is Pete Shepard with his unique brand of Patriots sports talk. We will see you tomorrow at noon. Until then, go Patriots. This evening, I'm exhausted, barely breathing, holding on to what I believe in. No matter what, you'll never take that from me. My rain is as far as your eyes can see. It's amazing, so amazing. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.